Okay, well, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Channel Drop-In with me, Glenn Robertson from Pure Channels, the channel agency. It's the first, in fact, of this year, 2021, and everything that comes with it. It's our first drop-in of the year, and I'm delighted today to be joined by Gemma Telford, who is, you know, wonderfully experienced in the channel. She's currently owner and founder of the agency She Her, previous owner and founder of the IT marketing agency, and has a wealth of experience at the likes of Ingram, Sage, and Palo Alto, amongst others as well. So, hi Gemma, welcome to the drop-in. If I could ask you maybe just for 30, 60 seconds of an intro from yourself before we get stuck in.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Glenn. I didn't realise I was the first one this year, so yes. Special. And very experienced and in need of my roots being done. So that's another word for old, right? I've been in the channel for getting on for 20 years. And as you mentioned, in that time, I've been working for Disti. I headed up marketing at Network Group for a while. I've worked for vendors in sort of global and EMEA roles as well, like Sage and Palo Alto, and run an agency. So I've worked all around the channel, which has been really, really good and helped me to always have that, you know, the other side of that equation when I'm working in the channel space. And so partner marketing has been my favorite thing to do. I still love working with partners. I think it's still a space that is underrated in some terms. And I'm happy to be here. So thanks for having me.
Very good. No, it's brilliant. Brilliant. Yes, we should never underestimate and never underrate the partners that exist. Absolutely. In our channel. They are the lifeblood, as we all know. So really interesting topic today, ABM. This is something that, you know, obviously we come into contact with an awful lot. Both on the indirect channel side and also across the network of agencies working on the direct side, you know, and we know that B2B in general is investing a huge amount into ABM. It's definitely on the radar of, should we say, some, hopefully the majority of vendors, and definitely the analysts are talking. Yes. An awful lot about it. Okay, but where does it cross the line? What does it do? How does it translate into channel? You know, is it just another acronym that you know, people are throwing about because it's the latest buzz thing? And, you know, I know a lot of our direct colleagues are going to shoot us down for this, but, you know, the channel's complicated enough, right? And partners are, you know, for the most part, there are some who are absolutely brilliant at it, but partners often struggle with marketing in general. Does ABM in the channel confuse things, or does it make it better? You know, what's the situation? What's the landscape?
Okay, good question. And I think ABM is definitely something that we're seeing, as you mentioned, lots of people investing in, and there's that appetite to continue to invest. And I think the reason there is that appetite is because it's proving that it works well. So it's not just demand gen with another acronym. And I think for me, you know, obviously there's different types of account-based marketing that people invest in. And it's something that I've been working in a lot the last sort of, I guess, 4 or 5 years. And when I was I was VP of Global Partner Marketing at Sage, we actually ran an ABM program at Sage with our top X3 partners. And it was not easy, and the channel is quite complicated. But I think what's good about that is for the players that, you know, have got the appetite to do it, there's a real opportunity there. And when I was at Sage, we really had to work hard to identify which kinds of partners would be a good fit for ABM. But I think what it does is we were able to invest in those partners in a way that Sage had never done before. And, you know, there's one partner in particular that I remember who said he's been a Sage partner for 20 years. This was the best marketing he'd ever had or done with Sage. And it really transformed their business and taught them a lot about it as well. So I think there's that element of, with your top partners, you know, the reason that ABM is popular is because deals are getting harder to do, decision-making units are getting bigger, sales cycles are getting longer. And so even as a vendor, you know, ABM is helping to address some of those issues. But I think with a lot of those bigger deals, especially, a partner brings something into that mix that the vendor can't offer. You know, so they've maybe got the industry expertise that the vendor doesn't have, or perhaps they've been working in that for a long while. Perhaps they've developed other APIs that work well with software, or they've got other experience that they can bring to support that customer. And I think that's the element that that's the opportunity for the channel there. If the vendor and the partner can work together to leverage that, then, you know, there's great opportunity for them both to win more and win bigger deals and win them faster.
Cool. Okay. And you know what we've done? We've fallen into that awful trap, haven't we, of assuming everybody knows what we're talking about. I think you said it once and I didn't say it at all. But ABM does, of course, stand for account-based marketing. Can you give a short summary of what that actually means for anybody that is struggling?
Yeah, failed at the first hurdle there, didn't we? So account-based marketing is, you know, the traditional explanation is treating each customer as a marketplace of one. And I think, you know, in some cases, when you're talking about two really massive companies, then you can definitely do that. But I think most people don't do that. But it's taking a view of marketing to an account rather than, you know, me, Gemma, trying to sell you, Glenn, something. It's looking at, OK, what's my offering to Pure Channels? You know, who else do I need to know at Pure Channels? What are you trying to do with your business? How are you going to market? What's going to be changing for you in the next 5 or 10 years? What are you looking to add into your business? What are you worried about? And therefore, how do I start to address those types of issues for you? And so I think, you know, that's sometimes why people say, oh, account-based marketing is just good marketing, right? And it is just good marketing. It should be. But for me, I think the big difference is it's using insight in a way that perhaps we've not used before. So it's a real pull sort of marketing rather than a push out. You know, here's our message. How do we get it out there? Who do we get it out to? It's coming at it from the other point of view and looking at the business that you're, the customer that you're trying to engage with. What do you know about them? Who do you know about them? How do your relationships map onto, you know, the stakeholder team of that customer? What are they concerned about? How is their business developing? What can you offer? And it's a much more consultative approach, I think.
So is this, to break it down, is it, are we talking, you know, sort of super focused, super targeted, breadth and depth, land and expand, and all of those types of things that that we might ordinarily associate with what we might describe as what you should be doing in terms of good behavior within marketing activity, but it's placing a real focus on those good behaviors.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, it, like I say, it's coming at it from the added value perspective of insight. So, you know, I think, you know, we all get 80% of our business from 20% of our customers. So everyone sort of says that, don't they? But then, you know, what with those customers, so you may be thinking, okay, I'm getting 80% of my business, I want more new customers, and that's a separate issue. But, you know, could you be doing more with those customers? How do you expand into different areas, different geographies, you know, different verticals with them? Who else do you need to know in there so that you're doing the best job of making that customer an advocate for your business? So I think there's definitely that land and expand piece with existing accounts. And I think ABM can be really successful with new accounts as well in helping you shorten that sales cycle. So if you're going after a big new account, you might expect that sales cycle to be a year or even longer. So with ABM, what you're trying to do, I guess, is look at the success that you're having with your current accounts. And I would always advocate for going for something similar in with new accounts, because you've got, you know, the credibility in that space. And then trying to understand with that new business, you know, who will make up the decision-making unit to bring you on board? Is it going to be, you know, the CEO? Probably not. Is it going to be, you know, the next level down? Possibly. Who else is an influencer in that space? You know, so it's actually going to that account with as much of that work done as you can get. And I think the good thing about ABM is it can give you a real structured approach to how to go to market with someone. So it's looking at, you know, what's the relationship map look like? What should the messaging be? What's your value proposition? And I think those are things that take a bit more thought and insight to get right. But once you've got them right, they're much easier then to leverage for other accounts. They're much easier to leverage for other verticals. And so I think ABM can put a lot of people off because it seems complicated and difficult in the beginning. And it kind of is. But, you know, the rewards are out there. And I think if you land a bigger deal quicker and you're more embedded in that account because they can see that you've got them, then why wouldn't you want to do that?
Yeah, I guess I can see a bit of a similarity or correlation here to the way that we've been managing partner recruitment and acquisition and retention and uplift for many years, of course, and maybe that's a way of kind of transferring behavior because good partner recruitment is about assessing what you've got at the moment, assessing where the successes are, looking at profiling the types of organizations that you want as modeling good partners, the types of people within those partners, and then looking at ways to potentially uplift and engage and motivate and incentivize and reward. And at the same time, on the acquisition side, you've built that profile of what good looks like.
Yes.
And then you make a point of going out and trying to find, and rather than just going, can we recruit as many partners as possible? There's a much more focused and targeted approach that says, well, we need to speak to these 17 people within these target accounts that might be, just four specialized partners that we need per region or whatever it is. Is that an okay way of kind of transferring the mentality behind it?
Yeah, I think it definitely is. And I think you're right. A lot of vendors in the past particularly used to be about, oh, yeah, partner recruitment. Yeah, we've got 10 partners. We want 200 by the end of the year. And you think, well, you could probably get 200, but how much time and effort are you going to spend getting them? And then once you've got them, how are you going to activate them? And then even if you've activated them, what work are they going to do for you? So I think you're right. If you're going to kiss frogs, kiss the best looking frogs.
Yeah. Give yourself a chance.
Basically. Yeah, exactly.
We are talking, aren't we? We are talking about, and it is relatively cliche and old, but we are talking about quality over quantity, aren't we? This isn't a broad brush. This isn't a let's chuck some stuff at a wall and hope some of it sticks. This is focused down on exactly what, not just good, but what amazing can look like and really going after it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, when I was at Sage, we'd got quite a lot of global partners for X3, but we had to really consider in each region who was the best fit for that program. So were they forward thinking? Had they got the resources to get involved in something like this? Because again, it's not a program that as a vendor you can just say to a partner, here's some money, off you pop and do ABM. You've got to support them in it and educate them and help them. And so we actually invested a lot of money per partner, but we actually helped create collateral for that partner. So bespoke to their industry, bespoke to their business with their branding on and some of the product messaging from Sage. And that was what was so different, I think. And that was what they really liked, because they just get stuff chucked over the fence at them. We actually took a lot of time with every single partner, and they had this whole bank of resources afterwards that they can use going forwards. We built case studies for them and all sorts of stuff. So we really supported them throughout that process. So it is a big commitment, but I think, like I say, it's one that if you're a vendor, you probably know your top four or five partners that might be suitable for something like that.
Okay, so devil's advocate then, I guess, is ABM only for the good partners? Does it only work if what was it you mentioned earlier? The top partners. Is this a kind of a secret sauce that's reserved for the special partners that get the secret treatment?
I would say yes and no. Of course, else you'd go into politics. It is reserved for partners who get it and will put the time in. That isn't always necessarily the top partners, because I think sometimes the top partners are the ones that just hit a revenue number and they're shifting tons of stuff. So that might be the top partner for a vendor, but actually it's about a bit more of an intelligent approach, I think. So if if a vendor wants to go after a specific market, for example, and you've got a partner who's got a lot of expertise in that market, then, you know, 2 + 2 = 5. If you can join those two together, there's a benefit for both of you that wouldn't have been there before, and also for that customer.
So it's definitely two-way commitment, right? It's buying into the fact that this, you know, might not be, it's definitely not, I say definitely, you're the expert, but it sounds like it's definitely not a quick win. It sounds like there definitely needs to be buy-in and commitment on both sides, both, you know, support and willing from the vendor, and you know, commitment to not expect changes and transformation overnight from a partner. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to be something where, like I say, first of all, the vendor can't just chuck a bunch of money at a partner and expect them to do it, because they probably won't know or have the skills in-house.
Yeah.
But also, they can't then expect that deal to land in their next quarter for their numbers. And I think there is still quite a lot of that in the channel. And I get it, you know, we're all driven by the numbers and we all want those numbers. But again, if you sat down and asked a salesperson at the vendor and a salesperson at the partner, if you're going after this new customer, how long is it going to take? They'll probably both say 12 to 18 months. And yet they'll get some funding and expect that number in the next 6 months or the next quarter.
Yeah. So this, I mean, you know, us, you know me, you know what we do, you know, I'm constantly talking about PX and have been for the last goodness knows how long. You know, so this definitely feels like it's you know, not only an investment in partners from the vendor, it's also an investment in the vendor from the partner.
Absolutely.
And ultimately both of those things collide in order to optimize as much as possible the whole of the partner experience from both the vendor and the partner side.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I built a tool which is on my website, thanks to the lovely Sandra Instead, who you might know, who's like one of the cleverest people I know. But I built a tool to help people understand where they might be in the ABM experience. And I've literally spent hours and hours and hours on it, going through, you know, if you're going to set yourself up for ABM, what are the things that you need to know about? What do you need to consider? What needs to be in place? How do you target the customers? Where do you get the data? What do you need to know about them? Who are the people in there? What's the messaging got to be? How are you going to take that messaging to market? What channels are you going to use? So digital, you know, you might use a nice direct mail piece. So I've built all that out so that people can go online and they can basically fill in all the boxes, and it spits them out a really nice report to say, okay, right, if we're starting from here, here's the bits that we don't have in place at all. Here's the stuff we can do. And I think that's the advantage of working with an agency, Glenn, that, you know, you don't have to, if you're the vendor and you want to work with these five channel partners and do an ABM campaign, chances are the partner and the vendor probably doesn't have all of that stuff that they need to deliver that. And that's why they can come to someone like me or someone like you and say, okay, we need some help getting this set up. We need some help.
Both of us together collaborating.
Exactly. You know, we need some help here.
Yeah.
But we understand that this is the framework, and we're committed to that framework. And once we've got that stuff rolling, you know, they're golden, aren't they?
Do you know, I think that's a good point, you know, because we live and love and work in the channel, and we do every day. It's what we get up for, right? But we're also realistic to the capability of, to be fair, both vendors and partners. And let's not forget the important role that the disties play here. So, you know, is it okay to say that ABM is not for everybody? And is it okay to also say that the likelihood is to get set up on a good fit, on a good footing? You know, it's not a heavily weighted leading question. I'm trying not to make it that, but is it okay to kind of say, do you know what, guys, this is pretty in depth. It's quite theory led. And in order to put it into practice, you are, the likelihood is you are going to need some support and some help.
Yeah.
You know, is it okay to say that? It sounds like it is.
Yeah, I think so. It's definitely not for everyone. You know, it 100% isn't. If you're selling straightforward software, you don't need a big fancy ABM program to do it. If you're selling an enterprise deal, that's going to take a year to land, and you know there's all these different stages you have to go through, then maybe ABM is right for you. But absolutely, I think it's would be really hard to expect a partner, unless they've got a big in-house marketing team, which most partners don't have, to be able to expect to pick something like this up. And I think more and more people are sort of becoming qualified in how to do ABM, and they've got some experience of it. But I think, you know, again, like you, I love working the channel. And so I would see my role in a situation like that is to come in and help both sides understand what needs to happen, and then work with an agency to deliver some of that. And we're teaching them to fish, right? So that then next year, or the next one they go after, you know, they've got a lot of this stuff already built in. They know now what their processes are. They know what they have to do. And they're hopefully starting to see some success from that.
What do you say to those people that come to you and say, we need to make sales. We've got to get sales. We need to hit our numbers. We need to do all those things, because otherwise the vendor will get the hump with us, and we just need to do sales. We haven't got time for all this. How do we, you know, how do those people overcome those barriers, or how do they access the benefits, clear benefits of ABM?
I think you have to be in the position, first of all, you have to actually,
or are they not the right partner?
I'll try to find a way of saying that politely. Yeah, I'd say you have to believe that it's worth doing. And, you know, as we were chatting before, you know, there's been lots of, I need to hit my number this quarter, let's do some telemarketing, you know. That's the lead. I spoke to Glenn for 2 minutes and he told me to piss off.
Yeah.
Go away. That's a lead, Glenn. You'll be down for a follow-up, you know. Yeah. So I think, yeah, we've all... anyone in the channel is familiar with that. And so it is definitely not for everyone. You know, if you've got a massive direct sales force, for example, you're probably not going to want to do a big complicated ABM program. But having said that, I think one thing that ABM does do well is it really engages well with sales teams. So it's not marketing in the ivory tower doing the colouring in. It's you've got to be engaged with the sales guys and girls, because they're the ones who've got the relationship with the customer. They're the ones who've got a lot of that insight. And so I've seen that work really well, where, you know, sales teams are saying for the first time, oh God, someone's actually asking us for our opinion and listening to it, you know. So that can be a big tick in the box for people as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. Brilliant. Right. Okay, Gemma. That was ace. I would enjoy speaking for much longer about it, but this is a drop-in session, not a marathon. So what would you say to, you know, final kind of top tips, both for vendors and for partners who are, you know, maybe for vendors who are trying to look at ways to further engage, educate, enable their partners to do maybe a slightly better job of lead and demand gen, given the landscape that we now kind of find ourselves in. So that's the vendor side. And what would you say to the partners who are in that, maybe in that trap of, we've got to hit our number, and we've got to get $5,000 of MDF off the vendor in order to bag some telemarketing so we can prove that we're actually doing something? What would you say to those to those guys?
So I think for the vendors, quite often the channel teams are really separate from their direct sales teams, which again always strikes me as a bit odd. So I would say, you know, if you're on the partner side at a vendor, you've probably got a direct team who are looking at ABM. Nearly every big vendor is now, you know, and when I work for a specialist ABM agency, a lot of those vendors have got big ABM teams in-house. So I would say, you know, cross the floor and talk to them and find out how they're doing and how they're making it work, and then talk to some of your partners and see, is there a way you could build something like that in? Because I think it will bind partners to you in a really different way, and you'll both get a lot out of that process with the support maybe of someone external. And I'd say for a partner, if you're stuck in the, oh God, we need to hit the numbers and we need $5,000 for ABM, but you've got a proposition that is a bit more complicated or difficult to take to market, or you've got some particular IP that no one else has got, then just sit down, take 5 minutes or 5 hours or a bit longer, and work out, how could you take something like this to a vendor? So if you're selling a proposition and it's got a vendor built into that proposition, why don't you approach them? Because the thing is, if you approach them, most partners aren't approaching them for something different. And if you're approaching them for something that, you know, is proven to work, but takes a bit of investment, but you're showing that you've got the nous to think about how you could take that to market, then say to that vendor, I want to do this job, but it's not $5,000 of MDF. It's a year's investment. And this is what it's going to look like. And this is the stages that we'll go through. So, you know, it's working after a quarter, after 6 months, you know, and put it on its head. Have a think about what the vendor's looking to achieve, you know, from their numbers, and how can you help them meet? Brilliant.
That is it, isn't it? You know, it's partners. Start demanding more from your vendors, right? They've spent the last however many decades demanding you get out there and sell their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that still is very much the case, but actually the things have changed a little bit, right? You know, the tables have turned, and now if ever there was a time for partners to demand more of their vendors, it absolutely is now and going forward, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're being proactive with key vendors that you work with, you know, vendors are going to love that as well, because, you know, they must get, yeah, they're on the same treadmill in a lot of ways, aren't they? You know, so if you've got a partner coming to you saying, okay, right, I reckon I can crack this hospitality space because we've got an offering that fits that really well, and I've got some of these skills in house, I've got some of this stuff, and I've done this cool assessment that tells me I need this, this, and this, and I've spoken to Glenn and he's going to help me do that. Here you go, Mr. Vendor, you know, get involved.
Yeah, start to go back up, start demanding more. Yeah. Brilliant. Right, Gemma, amazing. Thank you so much. How do people get in touch with you, other than through us, of course, but, you know, how do people get in touch with you? How can people contact you? Where can people go to find out more?
Yeah. So my website is sheher.co.uk. There's a little ABM section on there. There's a little link to the tool if you want to have a go at that. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn like everybody else. And I'm connected to you, Glenn, so they can find me that way.
Brilliant. Gemma, that was great. So pleased. What a brilliant way to start off the year, albeit in the second month of the year. But, you know, it's been a busy time already, hasn't it? You know, fantastic. Great drop in. Thanks ever so much for taking the time. Everybody, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Glenn Robertson from Pure Channels, the channel agency, with Gemma Telford at SheHer on the channel drop in. Thanks very much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Glenn.